Hi guys, welcome to the Hot Literati. The Hot Literati is my collective of cool, hot, well-read people. My name is Haley, and I'm happy that you are here. So today is going to be a little rambly again, just because I'm in the middle of a few different books, so I don't have like a holistic work to talk about. I kind of just have these like splintered ideas from them and just like other stimuli and things going on that I wanted to touch on. So this is kind of going to be ideologically parallel to my last Substack post, which I think will have gone out by now, called tentatively called It's Going to Be Okay, because I've been going down a few different rabbit holes, and right now I'm obsessed with MJ Dorian's podcast The Creative Codex, and his like passion for the psychologist Carl Jung. Jung has kind of put me on like a kick with his theory and his work, so I've been doing a lot of like reading and listening about him. And then I'm still reading The Mind's Eye by Hofstadter, which I just posted a TikTok about. And yeah, and then I was on a date last night, which I'll give y'all like a dating life update, probably on Substack, or maybe like Instagram, I don't even know. But someone I've been seeing like intermittently for a while. We were just like talking, and he called the world like yellow tinged right now, which I think is like such a good descriptor, because there's this feeling of just like resignation and like, I think the word I used on Substack was like despondency, which I think is such a good descriptor for like how people feel, because obviously there's a lot going on, and and it's hard to like feel positive or like grateful or safe when we all have this feeling of like despondency, right? And that brings me to a couple different points, because I was just really reflecting, because I'm like very sensitive. You know, I grew up in the first like, I guess like I generation is what Gene Twenge calls it. And I'm like prone to anxiety, but honestly like setting better boundaries with my screen time has been like key and really amazing for me personally for like mitigating anxiety and like dealing with it. But yeah, like I'm also affected by just like the, I guess, the yellow tint of the world. But that brings me to my point with like Carl Jung, right? Because I think that it's so easy to like look around and to look around and think like, oh, like things are bad and they're just gonna like keep getting worse. Like even in this piece I wrote called Are You a Restaurant Girl, I think I called society like increasingly more individualistic, and I think that this is like been made true because of our relationship to tech, but I don't think it's like necessary, and I don't think it's necessary, and I don't think it's like unavoidable at the same time. I think our words have so much power, and like I think the way that we talk about society today is like really important as well, because there's like this continual like doomsday mentality, I almost feel like. But I was thinking the other day about how this is like not novel. Like one of my favorite bands is the Turtles from the 60s, and they have this song, I don't know if it's their song or if they covered it, called Eve of Destruction. And it's about just like the state of the world with war back then, how everyone felt like the end of something was coming. And I think there's such a parallel to like individual human life and society, right? Like I think about the human condition all the time. I'm like, it's a little cringy. It definitely makes like little things like love life and like job stresses feel a lot lighter, but when you're like sitting at your desk freaking out about like mortality and like fear of flesh, it's not like the most fun topic to mentally gravitate toward. But I think that, you know, that's obviously like the thing that we're always scared of is the unknown. And I think that the way that we talk about society is like so reflective of that, because we're so scared of like our own fear of flesh. And then we kind of like project that outwards, and we're like, oh my gosh, like everything's ending all the time. And even though that is really scary, like nothing would be beautiful if we knew that it was going to last forever in the same vein. But that brings me to like a few things. Okay, I'm going to start with this point from, like, the Hofstadter book. One of the excerpts in it, it's a collection of, like, stories on reflections on, like, self, science, so many things. And one of the essays on Alan Turing, I believe, talks about how if you gave a computer a simulated hurricane, it would like be real to the computer. And even like a language and like a hurricane, like we call hurricanes hurricanes, we call tornadoes tornadoes. I have a lot of like climate nightmares, by the way, so this like rings so personal and like really comforting to me, but we call these things these words because we've observed them like a few times or like multiple times, and we're like, oh, like this is like caused by this, we think, so we're gonna call it this. And when something like breaks our schema, when it breaks like our definition of something, it's extremely scary because it's unknown. But at the same time, like, it's unknown. So that goes to my point of like, I think a lot of the doomsday mentality is around like, or the way that we talk about the future, the way that we talk about the world, the way we talk about like one another is like, oh, like I can categorize like this person as this, so I'm gonna say that like this is gonna happen and this is like scary because XYZ. And I think a lot of the time like that fear of the unknown just comes from like the fear of ourselves and like the human condition and the confusion as to like what we're here to do. I think Rene Girard says like very interesting stuff about this, and I think Carl Jung says really phenomenal stuff about this, because his whole theory is about like the unconscious, right? And like the version of ourselves that's like there that we don't really have to uncover unless we do the work to, or unless we have like a moment of like awakening, which he describes his in the like the funniest way. I don't know what the exact quote is, but he's like, I was walking to school one day and then all of a sudden like I was. And I think that's like really beautiful and like really funny at the same time. But yeah, the collective unconscious by Jung is, I think it's like a counterpoint to some like Freud stuff, but he basically argues that, honestly, this reminds me so much of like this Faulkner quote I love, of like a loom, where like people are all connected in this loom and we're not really sure like why we're here, but we're just like trying to get through the day. And Jung argues that, yeah, like we're all, our unconscious, our like vibes are all connected and have like very real implications for just like the state of the world and like the well-being of like each little piece of in that loom. And I think that's a really beautiful way of looking at the world, because I think when something like your unconscious is like your vibe is like contagious, yeah, it can be like scary when you're like, oh, like people suck. But if you have the perspective that like humanity is like a miracle and it's actually like really incredible and really beautiful that we're all here, which I think my mind, when I think about life in this way, always goes to like Dostoevsky and Vonnegut. I think that type of a mindset can be really infectious as well. And I think one of the reasons we're having just a hard time, I'm like a 23-year-old saying, I think the reason we're having a hard time is a society. But no, like actually, I think one of the reasons, I know one of the reasons we're having a hard time is like individualism, right? And if we think about individualism, we got like televisions, which 24-hour news cycle, which started to deteriorate communities because people were just like afraid of their neighbors for the first time. And then we also got channels, and then in the home people went from like living room with family to like their own rooms where they could watch things, and then eventually we get like computers, and then we get like phones, which do like a more like invasive type of individualism, because it's like something you can't detach, you can, but it's like really difficult, especially with the smartphone, to like detach yourself from it. And then we get algorithm, right? And I think the algorithm is so fascinating. I read about this a bit in the Substack piece, but this professor, Ruha Benjamin at Princeton, one of my biggest regrets is not taking one of her classes, but she writes about like racial biases and how they like seep into AI and algorithms. And yes, like very relevant, very important. But I'm also fascinated by the idea that just like human inclinations, human like flaws, which flaw is such like a deterministic word at the same time too, like just like humanity can like seep into the tech that we create, right? Because tech is morally neutral when you really strip it down. And I think that, to like Jung's point, there is so much of like the human mind and the human conscious that we do not understand. There is so much about like ourselves that we don't understand, that we like don't factor for when we are thinking about like concepts and things. We don't think about our perception as a factor, because that would have like crazy repercussions for the way that we think about like science and data and literally everything. So in the same vein, I think there's like a type of humanity that's like seeped into our algorithms and like our tech. And Jung has this really beautiful quote about like your soul as a child. And what do children, like, I think about Joyce in Portrait of the Artist when I think about this, like, being a child and, like, growing up into the world, Schopenhauer says stuff like this too, you're, like, taught the ways of the world as you get older, and it's, like, you're a little computer being programmed, and it's, like, I do this, this hurts, I do this, like, this doesn't hurt, so I'm gonna, like, do this more, and I'm never gonna do this again, but in order to know, like, how to not get hurt, you have to know, like, what the worst possible outcome is. And I think that that very, like, childish, very, like, primal, I guess, like, fear of flesh or, like, desire for compassion or something has seeped into our tech. And I think that's why with algorithms we see, like, the absolute, the most, like, amazing things that we agree with, and then, like, the most terrible things that we are, like, desperately against. And psychologically, like, I think it isolates us, and I think it makes us so afraid of, like, the physical world, and I think it makes us so afraid of interacting with one another, not just like corporally. I don't know if I conjugated that word right, but and not just in like the physical sense, but I think in a very like spiritual sense, right? Like, because when you look at someone and you're like speaking with them, you don't know what's going on in their mind. You only know what they choose to tell you, which again, that's like the unknown. It's very scary. But I think that the smartest thing we could do is, like, choose to be vulnerable and choose to, like, be in the world and be with one another. Because, like, back to this idea of, like, language models, right? And this idea that, like, or this idea of, like, models, knowledge as models. And, like, knowledge is, like, language that we ascribe and behaviors that we associate with, like, different things. Because if you're, like, isolated and you're seeing, like, simulated way of people interacting, you're seeing like terrible comments, you're seeing like conspiracies online, you're seeing like crazy stuff online all the time, you're gonna be afraid to go out into the world, and you're gonna like look around at everyone and be like, oh no, like the world is so evil, like people are so evil and scary. But I think that the only way we kind of like get out of this like collective unconscious like loophole of just like doom and despair and despondency is by choosing to be in the world and to understand that like our simulation is not true, like that the simulation is not the real thing. And that's a really like scary thing to take yourself out of. But in the same vein, I think the only thing that it like requires is like faith. Like stepping into the unknown, anything, just requires faith. And I don't even mean the religious kind. I mean, it requires just, like, faith in yourself, faith in your experience of the world, like, faith in other people, faith in, like, something bigger than yourself if you believe in that. And that's how I rationalize everything. Like, I am religious. I think a lot of you know that by now. And it's funny because with all of my, like, reading of, like, classic lit and, like, explorations of kind of like religion independently, I think like the stuff that Carl Jung says about Christianity is really fascinating, but I always come around to the same point, which is that like it's all like, this is gonna sound so corny, okay guys, bear with me, but it's all about love. Like it's literally all about love. And speaking of all about love, I think like bell hooks has really, she has points, like clearly she thought about this a lot, and she talks about how we have like really unhealthy representations like human interaction right now in our media, in our like social structures, but she, in like dating, but she has hope and like faith that it doesn't have to be like that. She has like such hope and faith in her book that people will learn how to like love one another healthily and heal society. Because I think if you like heal the way that people view the world, if you like heal the way we interact with each other, that you can heal this like collective unconscious and we can heal society. And I truly believe that. And I think like to some stuff that like the Creative Codex says, I think art has such a big role in that, because art, like true art, which I feel like is so rare now, is like someone who's just willing to let their unconscious just like come to the forefront and just like speak for them. And you hear this in like flow states. The Mind's Eyes has really interesting stuff about this, that Hofstadter book. And when you hear like these really phenomenal artists describe their creative process, it's like that unconscious speaking, that like part of ourselves that is not known, that we're like so scared of. But ironically, this guy that I like dated for a little bit, who's like very flaky, a lot of red flags. But he was also an artist. He was a musician, and he said that like, to him, he believed that that was like some, like that was God or like some sort of higher power, like trying to speak through us. So yeah, my like sweet hot literati, like I genuinely believe like things are gonna be okay. I genuinely believe that we're gonna learn how to like healthily interact with one another as a world again, as a society, that we can create like a compassion-based world. And I think it's just like step by step, right? Like all it takes is one. And that type of compassion is like contagious. Like this morning I was thinking about how things that are very, I was thinking about social disruption, right? Like anything that's very terrifying is like socially disruptive. It's something that you feel in your body. It like shakes your perception of things. It's something that you remember in your mind, like a trauma. Like you remember it in each moment until it just becomes a part of your lived reality. But at the same time, I think the only way we can get out of this is like by being disruptively good and disruptively compassionate. I think a lot of religions say things like this. Obviously, like my own religion, I'm non-denominational Christian, and the story of the resurrection is like extremely disruptively like compassionate. And I feel so lucky to have had parents who are very disruptively compassionate in their own ways. Like anything that they can do to like truly help another person, if they can sense that it's needed, like my parents are gonna do that. And that's the thing I've tried to start doing for myself, whether it's like helping someone with a bag through the turnstile if I can, or like stopping to help someone take a photo with like family or like loved ones if it looks like someone's left out. And I think it's just like acts like that that feel like a little socially weird are like bridging that gap between us all and like showing everyone the world really isn't as scary as it seems, and it doesn't have to be scary at all because we're all here together. And to like Vonnegut's point in Sirens of Titan, like nobody really knows why we're here. And you just have to like love who's around. And with that, I'm gonna end this like super super rambly episode with this Dostoevsky quote from the Brothers Karamazov that I love so much. I got a symbolic tattoo on myself for it. If you love everything, you will perceive the divine mystery in things. Once you perceive it, you will begin to comprehend better every day, and you will come at last to love the whole world with an all-embracing love. At some thoughts, one stands perplexed, especially at the sight of people's sin, and asks oneself whether one should use force or love and humility. Always decide to use humble love. If you resolve on that once and for all, you may subdue the whole world. Loving humility is marvelously strong, the strongest of all things, and there is nothing else like it. Thanks for listening, guys. We're gonna be okay. I believe in us, and I love you.